So we're going to go to Romans 10 for just a moment so you can hear from the Scripture how the Son receives the word of truth. So that, listen, if it's in the Scripture of God speaking to the Son, let's keep it in that context, because that's who He's speaking to. He's speaking to the Son. He's not speaking to you in the flesh. He's speaking to the Son, who is in you all. That's what the Bible says. Okay? For the righteousness which is of faith. Now just listen. Don't, if you can separate your mind from the written word of God and listen to what God's saying to you. Because I know how your mind works when you're following along in the written word. I mean, you'll either back up to look at what was said before or you'll read ahead of what hasn't even been read yet. I know how that mind works. Okay? But the righteousness which is of faith. So what's righteousness of? How did righteousness come? By faith. We know that, and even in the Old Testament, God made Abraham, counted Abraham righteous because why? He believed God. And God said what? What did God tell Abraham? Told him that he was going to have a son. Was it a son within, or was it a son of the flesh? It was of the Spirit. It was of God. So when Abraham tried to go another way with it, what did that son become? Flesh. Let me help you here. He was defiled. He was of Abraham. He was of his own. He was not according to the promise of the Word of God. Yet in Abraham's mind, it looked like the same. Hear me here. When Abraham saw Ishmael, he believed that he was his son according to the promise of God. Even though he went into a strange woman, correct? Sowed seed into a strange woman and brought forth that son. And he had permission of a righteous woman to do so. So in his mind, what he produced was the promise of God. So then God shows up, right? And told him, Abraham, that is not the seed that I promised you. That is not according to the promise. Blew Abraham's mind. So every time the truth shows up, every time that we try to produce something of our own by the Word of God, hear me, and it's not of God, God shows up, the truth comes to us, now all of a sudden, what does it reveal? What I produced of my own flesh, my own thought, when the truth shows up, then what happens to that which I produced? It's judged. Does it need to be judged? Yes. And when it's shown to me that it's not of God, all of a sudden, here's what can happen in it. Number one, can my countenance fall? Yes. Because I produced something. I produced a son. Let's just put it this way. I reproduced out of my own kind what I believe to be the promise of God. What I believe to be the thought of God. So now when the thought of God comes and he judges it, and it tells me that, no, what you produced of your own is not of God. It's not of me. You did that of your own. This is what I promised you. And it can only be by me. People have a hard time dealing with that because they want to be righteous. They want to be a son. They want to make full proof of their ministry, but they want to do it by their own works and not according to the works of God. So that's where we end up in it. So in the 10th chapter of the book of Romans, then, and I don't want to spend a lot of time here, but brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. What kind of knowledge? What, when Paul says, not according, they have a zeal for not for God, but not according to knowledge, what's he talking about? Well, I studied the Word of God all my life. You're telling me I don't have a knowledge of God? It's exactly what God's telling you. Because your knowledge is based upon your own perception of a mind that did not know God. So here's, and that's a good segue for just a moment into what I wanted to talk about this morning, and that is, how important to you is the Holy Ghost? Yeah, it becomes your life, because the Holy Ghost is the resurrection. The Holy Ghost is the resurrection. So only in the resurrection can you come into a witness of God, of the true God, not the one you made for yourself. This is how important it is. How does the elder know then when you're working in a working by the Holy Ghost or working in a resurrection? One question that we heard when Gary and Keith were here was, how many people have you raised from the dead? Correct? Immediately, where did the thought go? Oh, well, no, it didn't even go to the physical, John. It just went right to the flesh. I'm just telling you. And so when we think of, when our thought goes to that aspect of it, what does the elder already know? Come on. You're not in the spirit. You're not in a resurrection. There's been no resurrection of the dead, and you have not resurrected life. You have no fruit. This is where it becomes extremely important for all of us to understand the work of the Holy Ghost. Why does the Bible say when you have the Holy Ghost, you have no need for any man to teach you? Why does it say it, though? Oh, imagine that. Because now you have the knowledge of God by the Holy Ghost. It's from heaven. So your thought is not coming from the earth out. It's coming from heaven in. Right? It's coming from within the heaven that is in you. So when Jesus reproved the Pharisees, even the disciples, and he said, look not low here, low there. We're talking about Luke 17 and 21, right? Look not low here, low there. No, the kingdom of God isn't over there. It's not over there. It's not over there. It doesn't come by signs. Right? Oh, look. There's the earth. This is how the church judges the second coming today, the end times today. What's it looking at? The outward signs of this planet, right? That's how it's judging it. So here comes, everything's getting so bad that it must be time. Yet, in the Bible, it says, this is the part that just really should stir up many thoughts in you, because in the Bible, it says this. It says that Jesus died for our sins. How many times? Once. And so, if Jesus died for our sins and has resurrected, in the resurrection, what does he bring to you? Life. He, in the resurrection, he fills you with himself. How can there be an end of that? It's eternal. There's no end to it. So, in our minds, religion puts it all backwards. Always has, always will. The Holy Ghost sets it all right. Makes it right. Okay? For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. So the more we try to make things right within ourselves, what are we not submitting to? The true righteousness, the true of God. We're not submitting ourselves to the righteousness of God. That's pretty easy to answer. That after reading it, you can answer pretty plain. For Christ is the end of the law for the righteous to everyone that believes. Now let me drop down to where I was before. But the righteousness which is of faith speaks on this wise, say not in your heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down from above, who shall descend into the deep, that is, to bring Christ again from the dead. So, in reasoning, what do? Come on, we just told you. We're either trying to bring Christ down from above, or we're trying to raise Christ from the dead. That's what reasoning does. Yet, where do the answers, where do the works come from? They only come from God. That's it. So, how did Jesus then hear the word and do the works? How did he do it? He only saw the Father. Who was his righteousness then? The Father. So if the Father was his righteousness, then to us, who's Christ? Our righteousness. Even in the Old Testament, Isaiah saw it, Jeremiah saw it as the Lord, our righteousness. You can look it up. And if you find it, tell me and I'll go get it and read it. Now, but what saith it then? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thine heart. That is the word of faith. Okay. What word? The word of faith. So the word of faith comes from who? God. To who? Who's it coming to? To the Son. So when we talked about several months ago, we talked about who gives witness of the Son? The Father. Who gives witness of the Father? The Son. Why? Because they're the same. So who reveals the Son? The Father. Who reveals the Father? So when I have the Son, when the Son is beginning to be known in me, who's he give witness to? That's it. So there's one name in heaven in whom all testimony is of. And who's that name? Jesus Christ. I mean, it's awesome. So here I am. I'm walking down the street, right? And nobody knows me. Everybody that sees me walking down the road, they don't know me. They don't know my name. They know nothing about me, correct? But in myself, who do I know that I am? That I am the Son of God. I don't care if I have three sons, Josh, Nate, Mike. Do they know that I'm the Son of God? No. Does that matter to me? Not at this time, because I already know that they in me are the same. But they haven't come to it yet. That's what the Father knows about you. So in our minds, we want to make ourselves like God according to our mind. God says, shame on you. Because God, in his mind, certainly doesn't need yours. You understand? This is why we get born again. This is why we need Jesus Christ in order to come and save us. This is why the Word becomes so powerful. Because in the Word of God, we take on whose mind? His mind. And so our testimony then is that I have the mind of Christ. God's not the one getting rebirth. God knows who he is from the beginning. You don't. That's why God told Jeremiah, before you were in your mother's womb, I knew thee. So by the word of his power, what did Jeremiah learn? By the word of God's power, what did Jeremiah learn? That he was the Son of God, he was a prophet, and that he would be sent into the nations of the world to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. What are you learning? Same. That's what I'm saying. How else could it be one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, one Father of all? It's the only way. There's no other way to describe it other than the way we were describing it this morning. That's why when we talk about sanctifying the Lord, who then do we sanctify? You or the Lord? It's to the Son. You're not being sanctified. John 17, he said, I even sanctify myself by my word. Glory be. So if you're going to be raised up in the resurrection, if you're going to be raised up as the Christ in your world, amen, right? You're becoming the Word of God to your world, to preach to your world as the Son of God. Can you be defiled? No, you cannot be. And we are not talking about the flesh at all here. Because the flesh is already what? It's already defiled. It was defiled from the beginning. How about the flesh of Jesus? Defiled or not? Undefiled. How else could he take on your sin? You can't cleanse a body with a defiled body. You understand what I'm saying? Because if you try to cleanse with a defiled body, what are you going to do to the body you're trying to cleanse? You're going to defile it. These things are not, these things, we just don't go there in the thought enough to even sanctify the Word of God. Amen? We just don't do it. This is not where we allow God to take our thoughts into these things long enough for us to come into a judgment where the judgment begins to burn up the chaff to where the wheat of God or the wheat begins to come forth that is put into the garner of God to where the Son of God can be made, created. Because it's as the wheat's gathered into the garner that the Son of God is created. Thus the threshing floor of Ornan. So when David went up on the threshing floor of Ornan, why did he go there? What had David done? He had sinned. He had defiled Israel. So now he had to go make a sacrifice. He goes up on the threshing floor of Ornan where God sent him. There he sees the angel of the Lord. He sees Michael with his sword drawn. When Gary was here, he went to Daniel, the 12th chapter. And in the beginning of Daniel, the 12th chapter, in the first verse, who stands up? Michael. You think Michael is going to allow a defiled word to enter into the garner of God? So who is that garner? It's you. Are you not the temple of the living God? Are you not the church of the living God? That is why Michael has stood up. So in our thoughts then, when we take certain thoughts and we speak them, and the elder says, whoa. Is there a good reason why he says, whoa? He's not going to allow it to defile the temple. That's correct. And I can guarantee you that the elder's not going to allow that thought. He's not going to take that thought for himself. And is the elder not baptizing you into his body? Is not Jesus Christ baptizing you into his body? So why then would he not judge that word that you are and keep it from being defiled? So here, this is where people get it all wrong. People think, well, we can just agree to disagree. That is BS. We are not here to learn to disagree. Hear me. We'll just have to agree to disagree. God, you know how weak that thought in itself is? That thought, there's no accountability in that thought at all. There's no judgment in that thought. And I'm going to tell you what, that's Christianity today. Because every man wants to do that which is right in his own eyes and does not want to be judged by God himself. And God forbid if they should think that God raised up a man that could judge it for them. Hear me. God forbid. That's why when you enter into a lot of these denominational churches that we have present in our worlds today, right? When you enter into them, do you know how disrespectful people are to those men that have been raised up to judge the word for them? Very. Because they don't get it. Neither does the man that's to judge the word over them get it. Just explain your thought there. If we're in the book, how could... There you go. How else are we going to get it? How is the judgment going to come, right? That's what we want it to be our own. That's correct. That's why, listen, I'm going to read you something here in just a little bit. I was reading it this week, and my mind was taken up in it. But Gary spoke foundationally when he was here, and he spoke Sunday night. He spoke foundationally again. How many heard that? I hope you did. Because if we don't build the house on the foundation of God, what's going to happen to the house? It's going to crumble. Okay? So it's very important that we begin to understand foundationally what we're talking about when we talk about the Word of God and what the foundation of God created. Because when Jesus talked to Peter and said, Peter, upon this rock, I will build my church. Catholic Church says the rock was Peter. That's how Catholics put Peter in the position that they put him in as the first pope. That's all Catholicism. But who's the rock? Christ. It's Christ. And that rock that followed after them was Christ. How else could it, if it was any other person, if it was a man, what's going to happen to it? It's going to fall. Because I know as a son that I am no longer the man. I've been regenerated as the man, Christ Jesus, which Paul says so eloquently in Timothy to Timothy. Oh, of course it is. Yeah. The defiled word's always the curse. Generationally, we live in it. Correct? Even to the point that in our generations, when we take on the body of Christ, our generations are so against the Word of God that what do they want to do to the body when they see it, when they hear it? They want to kill it. They want to crucify it. That's what you have to be willing to do in order to save your world. Amen? How can you save your world, Frankie, as Christ and not be crucified and be risen from the dead? Right? Thus, the power of the Holy Ghost must be in you. So the Holy Ghost is needful for me to preach the gospel. Let me go back to 10 here. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. So the word is nigh thee, and that word that's nigh thee, what is it? I just told you what. But what is it? It's the word of faith. What is faith to the Son? Is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So, faith to the Son is all the evidence He needs to become. Because it's all the evidence of things what? Not seen. It's all the evidence of things not seen. And the hope is, or the substance of it, becomes what He is becoming. So as I walk by the Word that I see and hear from my Father, and I'm growing up in that Word, it becomes what to me? It becomes my possession. It becomes who I am. So now, by the Word of faith that I preach, I am becoming the Word of God. And that Word is Spirit. It's not seen. So now I'm transcending, or I'm translating from flesh into spirit, even as by the Word of God. That's what's happening in me. So the mind of the flesh is being overcome by what? The mind of the Spirit. That's awesome to me. Now, is my preaching in vain or is my preaching in substance? It's in substance. Because now it's of the Holy Ghost. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So now it's said a mouthful right there in that one scripture. Because what you have to believe as a son is that you are becoming the Word of God. If you try to preach the Word of God and you don't believe you're becoming Jesus Christ, how effectual is that preaching going to be? It's not going to be effectual at all. There's no witness in it. It is dead works, John. And on the foundation of Jesus Christ, what happens to dead works? Well, they're burned up, but don't you have to repent from them? In other words, when you repent from your dead works, that means you're not going to do them again. So the foundation is, I got to read this to you. How many know the Word of God? How many know that the Old Testament ends with the books of Ezra and Nehemiah? That's when the Old Testament story ends, with the rebuilding of the temple in the books of Ezra and Nehemiah. Well, what about all those books after Ezra and Nehemiah? Well, those are all the prophets that were prophesying from Genesis to Nehemiah. In other words, God raised up all these men to set forth the direction of the Word of God. Always. And they worked in different offices or different administrations by the Holy Ghost to make it all come to pass. So when we read it in the New Testament, John, in the New Testament, when Jesus ascended, what did he do? He gave gifts unto men, so that in the gifting unto men by the Holy Ghost, was he going to put the whole thing into motion to bring forth the Son of God? Absolutely. There is only one mind. So now, I got to read this to you. Now we're going to read it. I'll tell you, most people, when I first started going into this years ago and teaching it, you did it from a historical basis in Israel's day, correct? Until one time I was reading it and I knew, because I believed I had the Holy Ghost even then. I was immature in it, just so you know, and didn't fully understand a lot of it and still don't fully understand a lot of it today, just so you know. But as I was reading the building or the laying again of the foundation, all of a sudden I knew. I knew. This was not a physical work in a physical nation for a physical time. This is talking about who I am becoming in Jesus Christ. And it's very important, even when I read the Old Testament, the only thing that makes the Old Testament old is your mindset. It's still the Word of God, isn't it? How could Rick prophesy Abraham to you if it was Old Testament and wasn't necessary? Nor would he. So the only thing that makes the Old Testament old is mindset. It's the Word of God, and it's to the Son. That's why 70% of the New Testament was taken from the Old Testament, because the Old Testament is not old. Okay? Let's just make sense. Let's just get in the right mind here. Now I want to listen. You got to hear this. And the children of the priest, the children of this name and that name, these sought their register among those that were reckoned by genealogy. But they were not found. Therefore, they were as polluted and put from the priesthood. So we talked earlier that, listen, the Lord knows them that are His. Says that in the New Testament. Says it in the Old Testament. How does He know them that are His? Ah, He only knows the Son. That's all He knows. How does He know the Son? How does He know the Son? How does He know the Son in you? Oh, it gives witness of the Father. It gives witness of the Father. Does it have the Holy Ghost? Okay. And the Tirshatha, which is the governor, said unto them, now I could go on and teach you just out of these things forever. But that would not profit you right now, just so you know. It wouldn't be any profit to you in it. And the Tirshatha said unto them that they should not eat of the most holy things till there stood up a priest with Urim and Thummim. What's Urim and Thummim? Wisdom and understanding. I taught that a long time ago. I'm talking 25, 30 years ago. Wisdom and understanding. So the priest, a priest with wisdom and understanding, had to do what? Stand up. Did not Gary read for you in Daniel, the 12th chapter, that who stood up? Michael has stood up. Does Michael have wisdom and understanding? So who raised up Michael in you? God did. These things, listen, this is why we're very patient when it comes to these things being known or revealed in us. We want to be patient and wait upon God to bring these things forth in us. Amen? God's going to show them to you. Here's the thing. We think it needs to be right now. Listen, even the elders that are amongst you, how long have they labored in the Word of God to even come into the understanding of some of these things? Years. I'm telling you, years. And the whole congregation was together. Together was 42,303 score. 42,360. 42,360. Just a number. Fought. Besides their servants, their maids, of whom there were 7,300 more thought, right? More thought. 200 singing men and singing women. So, not only were there servants that worked with horses and chariots and all that stuff, but there were singers. Also, more thought. Their horses were 736. Their mules, 245. Their camels, they counted it all. Thought. Okay? And some of the chief of the fathers, when they came to the house of the Lord, which is at Jerusalem, offered freely for the house of God to set it up in its place. They gave after their ability to the treasure of the work threescore and one, so 61,000 drams of gold, correct? 5,000 pounds of silver and 100 priest garments. So the priests and the Levites and some of the people and the singers and the porters and the Nethinims dwelt in their cities and all Israel in their cities. Oh man, something's getting ready to happen. The priest has been raised up with wisdom and understanding. How about it? How about in you today? I'm telling you. God is doing a work. God hath raised up elders with the Urim and Thummim. with wisdom and understanding to do the Lord's work. And so all of a sudden, they begin to bring all this stuff together to build again the house of God. God prophesied 400 years before this that he would raise up Cyrus, king of Persia. Persia at that time wasn't even an empire. Just so you know, if you want to put it in the flesh. But 400 years later, God raises up this king called Cyrus. Why was Cyrus raised up? One reason. He was raised up to build the house. Oh, David. Why was David raised up? To build the house. So who's the builder of the house? God. God is building a house. God is building a house. He is building by his plan. Amen? God is building the house. So if I labor in vain, what am I trying to do? I'm trying to build my own house. Doesn't the Bible say that it's vain to rise up early, to stay up late, and eat the bread of sorrow? Doesn't the Scripture say that? Because in that, what are you doing? You're doing your own works. And it's not talking about how much time you spend sleeping in your bed. But it is talking about how much time you spend in dead works. Just so you know. Who's building the house? God is building the house. Who raised up Cyrus? God raised up Cyrus. Who raised up David? God raised up David. Who gave David the plan on how to build the house? God did. So the house that Cyrus is going to build, is it going to be just like the one David built? Oh, yes, it is. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. How quickly we forget these things. Am I right? Amen. So here they begin to, they just begin to put some things in order here by the law of God, by the law of Moses. They just begin to do all these things. They even begin to keep the Feast of Tabernacles, which a lot of you don't even know what that is, right? Never even heard teaching on it, correct? Don't even know what it is. They offered continual burnt offerings. They consecrated everyone that willingly offered a free will offering unto the Lord. From the day of the seventh month began they to offer burnt offerings unto the Lord. Now listen, it says this, but the foundation of the temple of the Lord was not yet laid. Oh, so what wasn't laid yet? The foundation. They were just gathering. What are you doing right now? You're gathering. But the time is coming. So when it comes time to lay the foundation, who do we say that foundation is? Jesus Christ. Do we really understand what that means, Frankie? Because even it says that the apostles and prophets are the foundation of God, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. It says that in the New Testament. How about this, that every word that you hear from the elders, from the apostles and prophets, is it beginning to gather so it can lay the foundation of Jesus Christ in your life to build the house of God upon? For sure. I've been saying this for the last couple of months now, that in our minds, it is time for us to begin to respect, and I mean have a reverence for the Word of God that is beginning to do these things in us. What does it mean to reverence the Word of God? What does the word mean to reverence? Honor? You first make God your first love again? How about to prostrate oneself? What does it mean to prostrate oneself? Man, you're subjecting yourselves wholly unto the Word of God. You're becoming one with the Word of God. That's what it means. You are yielding every thought, every member of your mind. They gave money also unto the masons and to the carpenters, the da-da-da-da-da. Now in the second year of their coming unto the house of God at Jerusalem, in the second month, began Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, and the remnant of their brethren, the priests and the Levites, and all they that were come out of the captivity unto Jerusalem, and appointed the Levites from 20 years of age and upward to set forward the work of the house of the Lord. So when the elders tell you, they pray for you. Amen? And in those prayers, they are praying that God will begin to establish deacons and apostles in your world. Can you say amen? That's why they're baptizing you into their body. Now listen, then stood Jeshua with his sons and his brethren, Kadmiel and his sons, the sons of Judah, together to set forward the workmen in the house of God. Now, who's the workman? Who's the workman? When we're talking about building the house of God, right? The angels of God and the priests. The angels of God and the apostles. God's the builder, right? So what builds it? The Word of God. Who are these? These are the Word of God. So when Elisha has that young man with him, right? And they see the enemies of God round about. John, listen to this, okay? They see, all they can see is the enemy. All they can hear is the enemy. That's all. Elisha prays. Got that young man with him? He prays. And as he prays, that young man's eyes are opened. And what does he see? He sees the angels of God in tens of thousands round about. And he fears the enemy no more. I'm telling you, folks, these are not cunningly devised fables. We make them that way because of our mindset when it comes to the flesh. This is how God's working on your behalf even now to establish you as the Son. And when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, they set the priests in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals, to praise the Lord after the ordinance of David, king of Israel. What's the ordinance of David? It's the worship. It's the worship. Why do you think there were singers gathered together? Listen, when Asaph wrote, what did he write? He wrote the song of the Lord. He always wrote the song of the Lord. That's what is so important for us to begin to listen. If I'm going to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, is the song of the Lord in it? I can tell you that I defile it when I try to put my flesh to it, just so you know. Because I know the angels, they already know how to sing it. Amen? I'm not teaching an angel how to sing. God taught him. But as these things are beginning to, as this is beginning to take place, as the foundation of the Lord is beginning to be instituted into the mind, great things are happening. Angels, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And they don't sing it softly. Just so you know. Because when they sing, it opens heaven. It opens the mind to receive the Word of God. Now, if we think that we can replicate that in the flesh, Frankie, open your mouth and you sing for me. I want to hear it. Oh, we tried it. But when you see and hear the angels do it, not the same. Let me go on. And when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, they set their priests in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals, to praise the Lord after the ordinance of David, king of Israel. Listen, and they sang together by course in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because he is good, for his mercy endureth forever towards Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout, and they praised the Lord because of the foundation of the Lord was laid. Oh my gosh. Frankie, your mind, as the Word of God is laying the foundation of God. Amen? The angels are singing about the mercy and power and strength of our God. Establishing the things of God in you, and all of a sudden, it begins to go by course, John. They begin to answer one another. They begin to communicate the Word of God, strengthening the foundation of God in you. How else? When the Holy Ghost fills you up, how else can the remembrance of all things be upon you if it's not those angels singing by course about the mercy and power and awesomeness of our God? And it becomes the continual singing, Frankie. It's not they just don't sing it and then quit. You can't enter into the presence of the Lord without singing. Only it's not you doing the singing. Now listen to this part. Now you want to talk about remembrance. Listen to this as we finish this. But many of the priests and Levites and chief of the fathers who were ancient men that had seen the first house. When was the first house built? In David. How many years before? You want to put it in the sake of men's time? Not possible. You understand what I'm saying? God is setting forth eternity. That which was established from the beginning, it's a remembrance like you've never remembered in your life. Listen to this. That had seen the first house, when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, they wept with a loud voice, and many shouted aloud for joy. Now listen, so that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people. For the people shouted with a loud shout, and the noise was heard. How far? Afar off. Around the world. Whose world? God is the builder. And when God builds it, it's right, Frankie. When we build it, it's wrong. It's defiled. Even to the point that a strange king, King Nebuchadnezzar, was able to come into the house of God and destroy it and take the articles of worship out of it and take them unto himself. Listen. When we tell you that God is doing the work, isn't it time to believe that God is? When we tell you that your reasoning defiles the temple, defiles the church of the living God, isn't it time for you to begin to understand, to awaken out of your sleep and see that that has become the enemy of God? And that in believing the Word of God, my eyes are being opened to the angels. And I see Michael standing up with his sword drawn. And I know that I am a possessor of heaven and earth. And the word that I preach is the word that sustains it all. Amen? God bless you this morning.